The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
Thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob telling Bob Pepsodent Hope telling you to get on that Pepsodent. I'll be back. Just a minute. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Hope telling you to get on that Pepsodent train this year, and you'll never chat and lose your choo-choos. Sports Hope telling you to use Pepsodent because no matter how much you like tobogganing, it's no fun when you have teeth that are slaying you. Or this is Bob Happy New Year Hope telling you to use Pepsodent all during 1942 and you'll have a well-equipped yap to snap at a Jap. I wonder which one I'll use. Oh.
You know.
Well, 1941 is gone. I'm all set for another busy year. Gee, 12 new Esquires. I feel great tonight. I spent the New Year's up in the snow at Lake Arrowhead. I went up there for some skiing. I came back for some skin. Arrowhead is a body of water situated on top of a mountain, and every year at this time, Superman tips it over in the direction of Los Angeles. I didn't intend to go to Arrowhead, but I was crossing Vine Street on New Year's Eve, and before I knew it, a woman driver chased me up the mountain. You know, at this time of the year, half the people go to Palm Springs, the other half goes to Lake Arrowhead, and anyone that's still in Hollywood is either a tourist or works in an airplane factory. I stayed at the hotel I Am a Thief. They called it that. They called it that so you wouldn't steal stationery. I stayed at the hotel. See what ruined that gag? I was well out of a big laugh. Something was right in the missed timer. I stayed at the hotel I Am a Thief. They called it that so you wouldn't steal a stationery. I'll sneak that in later some program. But I just don't care. What a hotel. What a hotel. I was at the top of the mountain. It was called Eagle's Nest. In fact, all the guests had to take turns sitting on the egg. Well, I'll sit down on that one again. They had a big sign over the whole... Oh, they had a big sign. They had a big sign over the hotel. Welcome to Sunshine Lodge, where it's always warm and... That's as far as we got. In order to read the rest, we'd have had to remove the painter's frozen body. Rooms were $50 a day, and there were a lot of movie stars there. Gable was sitting in the lobby. Myrna Loy was sitting in the lobby. I was living in the lobby. Edward Arnold was there. He was huddled up in there. What are you... Edward Arnold was there. He was huddled up next to what he thought was a pot-bellied stove. He found out later that his vest was on fire. And boy, was it expensive. I asked for a $2 room, and the clerk gave me a look that afterwards was used as a toboggan slide. A beautiful delivery tonight. I'm going to take out a set of teeth in a few minutes. The first day I got there, they gave me a room with a lovely view, but the next day they changed me to one where I could just see the scenery. I asked the... Oh, that's a sneaky little thing. And I'm going to sneak it right out of the routine. I know. I asked the manager how the place got its name, Arrowhead, and he said, don't pay your bill, and so you'll find out. And it was really cold up there. It was so cold, when I went to sign the register, the clerk handed me the ink without the bottle. So cold, when I went to sign the register, the clerk handed me the ink without the bottle. Maybe me. What the... What frigid weather. The first morning, my dog wagged his tail, and it went ping... I wouldn't say it was very cold, but when I handed the bellboy a dollar bill, Washington looked up at me and said, look, do I have to go through Valley Forge again? And Don't tire yourself out. And the bellhop didn't have a key to the door. Instead, he stepped off 20 paces, said, "Yep, it should be about here," and handed me an ice pick. You have to visualize the whole thing. Boy, was my room cold. It was the first play Whatever happened to Roy Atwell? Boy, was my room cold. It was the first place I ever saw where the mice were wearing the cats. I have two deliveries. One is fast and one stinks. It was so cold in the lobby of the hotel, they had hot water bottles hanging over the petty drawings. I got that one. I got that one myself. And it was so chilly, I saw Will Hayes wearing Lana Turner's sweater. I put some newspapers between the blankets to make them warmer, and during the night, Dick Tracy sent the mole down for a hot water bottle. I think the mole is all through now, isn't he?
Yes.
He is?
Yes.
I didn't get the paper today. My relatives ate it before I got it. And during, everyone had great big goose pimples. It was wonderful. You could come in a room and hang your hat anywhere. Sports, I learned to ski before I learned to walk. And the first thing I did at Arrowhead was go skiing. Now I'm learning to walk again. You know, skiing, that's Hollywood, for they died with their boots on. They gave me a beautiful pair of skis. You can pull out a piece of cloth on one side and they make up into a stretcher. The skiing instructor told me to put on my skis, and he told me to stand up. Then he told me to stand up again. And he propped me up. I got up on the ski slide, took off, went soaring through the air. Two old ladies watched me for a minute. Then one turned to the other and said, "It's going to rain, Agnes. Look, there's a big drip coming down now." Everyone had great big goose pimples. It was wonderful. You could come in a room and hang them. Why isn't that as good as that? When I was skiing, I don't know how high I went, but I saw the whole second half of the Duke-Oregon State game. After my third jump, my right ski said to my left, "Come on, Joe, belly flopper here don't need us." You know, when you finish the ski jump, the idea is to land perfectly on your feet, they told me as they dug my head out of the snow. My feet are a little pigeon-toed for skiing. Of course, that doesn't make much difference, but I'm the only guy that ever started downhill at Arrowhead and finished at Sun Valley and Bear Mountain at the same time. And all the girls up there wear those heavy flannel ski suits. You know what a ski suit is? That's long underwear that wanted to see the world. Don't say, "Oh, if you don't like them, just cut your face." God bless you. Skinny was up there skiing. He wasn't a very pretty sight as he soared through the air on his skis. The same two old ladies watched him fly through the air, and one said to the other, "My, my, aren't they a little careless turning out things like that at Lockheed?" But it was beautiful up at Arrowhead. One day that we had 6 inches of snow, and two Chamber of Commerce men were walking around in it saying, "My, aren't they a little clouds?" Oh, God, they were. Yes, they were. Talk to each other. Ruin these great jokes. Oh, it's murder. What great joke? One day there we had... six... I don't know whether you like this or not now. One day there we had 6 inches of snow and two Chamber of Commerce... later. One day that we had 6 inches of snow and two Chamber of Commerce men were walking around in us saying, "My, aren't the clouds low today?" I knew it. What a time I had with those winter sports. I hurt my hands making snowballs. I hurt my arms pulling a sled. I hurt my feet trying to ski, and I went skating too. was wonderful ice skating. Skinny fell through the ice and the rescue party had a lot of trouble. They couldn't get him away from a salmon that wanted to take him up the Columbia River with him. And Sonia Hetty was there. She was so jealous of me. She did a lot of fancy stuff on one skate. I did the same thing on one ear. And I was having a swell time skating. Then Hetty Lamarr walked past the ice. Gee, I enjoyed the swim.
Hudson is a remarkable tooth powder. It's a tooth.
That's your part.
Hudson is a. Pepsodent is a remarkable tooth powder. It's the tooth powder that makes teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands. Proved by actual use, proved by independent laboratory tests. Make Pepsodent tooth powder your own personal beauty aid. Get a package tonight at your nearest drug counter.
Langford and the Six Hits of the Miss singing, Who Can I Turn To? That was swell, Francis. Well, you started the new year off on the right foot.
Thanks, Bob.
You know, our sponsor started the season with his right foot, too.
Have you been able to sit down yet, Bob?
Only side saddle.
By the way, I want to thank you.
Only side saddle. Let us get a little something if you don't mind. You sing, I have to get a few laughs, you know. Only side saddle. Only side saddle. I'm just rehearsing for Tuesday night. Only side saddle. That's all.
By the way, I want to thank you for inviting me over to your house for dinner New Year's Eve.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the dinner I served, Francis. What part of the roast did you get, the wing or the sliced breast?
That's a new dish, sliced breast of hamburger.
Are you inferring I don't spend enough money to entertain my guests properly, Francis?
I certainly am. Why, you were too stingy to keep our drinks cold correctly.
What was wrong with the way I kept them cold?
Well, the right way is to cool each drink individually, not to keep circling the room with an ice cube on the end of a yo-yo.
That was that good, I'd have taken it myself.
See, Mom, you sure had loads of relatives over at your house for the holidays. And if you'll pardon my saying so, they sure ate a lot.
I'll say my relatives ate a lot. They all came in like Abbott and walked out like Costello. I suppose after you left my place, Francis, you made the rounds.
Yes, I saw you at the Coconut Grove, Bob. You had on a tuxedo that fitted very well. But I noticed a little later that your tuxedo had shrunk as though you'd been out in the rain. Were you, Bob?
No, Francis, I wasn't out in the rain. I tried to drink a toast to my girl from her slipper, and I didn't know she wore the open-toed kind. And, say, did you notice, Francis, at midnight they put the lights out for 1 minute?
Yeah, Bob. And a minute doesn't last very long, does it?
What do you mean?
Well, you didn't have time to show all of Louisiana Purchase on the ceiling.
Yeah, I fell off the chandelier twice. That line in there.
You really?
A little feed line to break things up. Oh, it stinks. I got to work on an in-between man. An in-between line man. Another writer on a special bus in Brooklyn right away. Go ahead. Don't let me bother.
You really had a good time New Year's Eve, didn't you, Bob? How'd you feel the next day?
Well, I don't know whether I felt bad or not, Francis, but my eyes were so slanted I had to go down and turn in my camera and short wave set to the governor. Anyway, Francis, it was a wonderful New Year's, but you know, this year the Army wouldn't let any big crowds congregate in the street.
Yes, Hollywood Boulevard was deserted. There wasn't a soul on the street.
Yeah, one woman driver took a look and said, I didn't mind when they took away our tires. I didn't mind when they took away the new autos. But what's the use of owning a car if they're going to take away our target? Hiya, gang.
Hello,
well, hello
skinny.
Skinny. Well, well, if it isn't Skinny Ennis, Hollywood's challenge to the vitamin pill.
Bob, this being the start of a new year, I want to congratulate.
Oh, thanks, Skinny. How about shaking hands?
Okay, shake. Need I say unshake? Skin, have you, Skin, you have a good time New Year's Eve?
I don't know.
What do you mean, you don't know?
Well, I walked past the It Cafe, took a deep breath, that's all I remember.
Skin, you dropped into my New Year's party. How'd you enjoy it?
Yeah, I got a complaint to make about your party, Bob. Someone there went and hit me with two pieces of confetti.
Two pieces of confetti? Well, what are you upset about, Skin?
Doggone it, man, my condition, that's assault and battery.
Well, I've got a complaint to make, too, Skin. Your trombone player stole all the knives and forks.
He wouldn't do a thing like that, Bob.
He did, Skin, and furthermore, he hid those knives and forks in his trombone.
What makes you so sure?
Well, that's the first time anyone ever played Old Anxine and nailed all the guests to the chairs. And the way your drummer drank was disgraceful. He drank so much that he went outside and started directing traffic.
That's nothing, Bob. A lot of fellas take a drink, one or two drinks, and start acting like cops and directing traffic.
Yeah, but not 2 miles above Burbank Airport. Again, I heard that after my party, you went to the Coconut Grove with Betty Hutton.
Yeah, we had a great time, Bob. They had artificial reindeer and artificial snow and artificial trees. At 12 o'clock, I got up and started blowing a horn.
What happened, Skin?
At 12:01... artificial respiration. Man, I've been having the time of my life.
Well, you better hurry, Skinny. That's not much time.
Hey, listen here, Bob. We're starting a new year. And from now on, I don't want to hear any jokes about my physique, see? The first one that makes a crack, I'm going to pop him right in the nose, you hear? I'm going to bash their brains out, then I'm going to tie him in a sack and throw him in a river so they'll go over the dam. Hey, you know, this stuff's getting better than Dick Tracy.
Resolved resolved to build yourself up this year, huh, Ken?
Yeah, I ain't going to be a weakling anymore.
Gosh, Ken, you've resolved to build yourself up to be one of Hollywood's strongest men, and I've resolved to build myself up to be one of Hollywood's most romantic lovers.
Bob. Bob, ain't we both kind of reaching for the moon?
Who said oh out there? Well, you're almost there, Skin. You've got one foot in heaven already.
Hey, you know, Bob, New Year's Day, me and Betty Hutton drove over to the Rose Bowl game.
Skin, this year the Rose Bowl game was played in North Carolina.
Yeah, and you know, it only took me half as long to drive there as it did to Pasadena last New Year.
Skin, you can't fool me. You weren't at that game.
Well, anyway, there sure must have been a lot of excitement in good old North Carolina when they played that Rose Bowl game there this year. And Confederate hearts must have beat proudly when the South won again.
Skin, Duke was beaten by Oregon State, and Oregon is in the north of the United States.
Listen, brother, when they won that game, they became the South of Canada.
Ginny, no matter what you say, the North beat the South in that game.
You know, the next thing I know, you'll be telling me that the North beat the South in the Civil War.
Ginny, for your information, the North did beat the South in the Civil War. The South is no longer a separate nation.
It ain't?
No.
Then how come you keep paying me off in Confederate money?
Because you're the only one in the program I can lick.
Hey, did I tell you, Bob? My father came up from the South to visit me over the holidays.
Really? Well, how does he like this warm California climate?
I don't know. He can't stop his teeth chattering long enough to tell me. Hey, look, Bob. Here comes Betty Hutt.
Yeah.
Hiya, kids. Did you have a good time New Year's Eve? I had a swell time. Boy, did I have fun. Yippee!
And Sam Golden thinks he put out a ball of fire.
Hiya, Betty.
Hiya, Skin. No long time no see.
Well, I'm here in the flesh.
Still no see.
Say, Betty, I meant to ask you, what made you go out with Skinny New Year's Eve?
Well, I was curious. I always wanted to go out with Ennis to find out how the other half lived.
And did you find out?
Nah, that half ain't living either. See, if I could only get Skinny Ennis to wear a skirt, I'd make a fortune.
But why should Ennis wear a skirt?
Well, Wheaties wants to photograph us as before and after. By the way, I got your New Year's card, Bob, and thanks.
Oh, that's all right.
It was a lovely thought. And I needed a blotter, too.
Betty, that wasn't a blotter. This year I sent out my greetings on Kleenex and it got a little fuzzy in the mail.
Say, Bob, what did you do on New Year's Eve?
Oh, I stayed home most of the evening.
Bob, you shouldn't have stayed home. Didn't you hear any of the whistles or the bells or the noisemakers or anything?
No, at midnight I went down to Hollywood Boulevard and listened to the fenders hitting each other.
Bob, didn't I see you at the Palladium?
Well, I spent part of the evening there. Did you notice I was with Ann Sheridan?
No, but I knew you two were there.
You did?
Yeah, I heard somebody say, there goes Hollywood's prettiest redhead with Hollywood's biggest deadhead.
Betty, I'm not a redhead. Did you see the girl? Did you see the girl I was dancing with later? She was a debutante.
Oh, did she come out?
Well, she didn't exactly come out. She was attracted to the surface by an air raid siren.
I noticed she was wearing steel-rimmed glasses, silver braces on her teeth, and a gold charm bracelet.
Yeah, she's got so much metal, before you can go out with her, you have to get a priority number. You know, Betty, I always loved New Year's Eve. You're supposed to celebrate by kissing all the girls at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, but don't you think you overdid it a little?
What do you mean?
Well, you were the only one there who celebrated on Eastern, Central, Mountain, and Pacific time.
I'm still looking up the rules on daylight saving. And now, Betty, and ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to present a fellow comedian who has made a name for himself in musical comedy, radio and the movies, and is soon to be seen in the Paramount picture, Malaya, Mr. Jack Haley.
Thanks for that swell introduction, Bob. It was worth every cent I paid you.
Well, really, Jack, it's a particular pleasure and privilege for me to introduce anyone as distinguished and talented as you are. Jack, you're the type of performer the field of entertainment is honored to call its own. So welcome to the Pepsodent Show.
There's enough gas there to start the motors on a Douglas bomber. Don't mind me if I seem a little nervous up here, Bob. This is my first appearance on this program.
Well, you came on just at the right time, Jack. We just had the rainy season. Now we're having the Haley season. Get it? The Haley season.
Yes. My first and only appearance on this program.
Why, Jack, what makes you say that? Are you by any chance inferring that this show is corny?
I don't know whether your show is corny or not, Bob, but I notice you're afraid to put on the footlights because the script might pop, or rather, the heat might pop the script.
Hello, fellas. How about introducing me, Bob?
Say, Jack, how'd you like to meet a queen? There's another. Get it? Jack, meet a queen.
More corn, but this time it's king size.
Jack, I'd like to introduce you.
Hiya, Jackson.
Well, Betty Hutton, what are you doing here on the Hope program?
You know me. Anything to make a living.
Gee, you must be desperate.
I've always admired you from afar, Mr. Haley, and I've wanted to meet you. Gee, you're cute. You got nice blue eyes and nice wavy hair.
Gee, you're pretty, too. You know, Miss Hutton...
Just call me Betty.
Just call me Jack. Just call me when this is over.
What did you do on New Year's Eve, Mr. Haley?
Oh, nothing much, but I had a very exciting adventure. An automobile chased me up a tree, and then it climbed right up the tree after me.
Wait a minute, Jack. I'm afraid you may have had one cocktail too many. Autos don't climb up trees after people.
This your first trip to California, bud?
An admirer of yours, Mr. Haley. Can I have your autograph?
Why, certainly. Wait, there you are.
Look, Bob, he gave me his autograph free.
Oh, well.
But you charged me 50 cents for yours.
I know, but does his teeth light up and spell beat Japan and Irium? You like Jack, Betty?
Oh, yes. Standing there, he looks so handsome, so charming, so intellectual.
Oh, thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank Bob for providing the contrast. But really, Mr. Haley, I think you're swell. Why, I go to see all your pictures whenever there are any of the theaters here. That proves you're my favorite actor.
Oh, I don't know. You go to see all Bob's pictures, too.
Yeah, but when I go to see your pictures, I don't get paid overtime.
You don't mean to tell me that Bob makes you pay to see his pictures?
Well, not just for that.
He pays you to see his pictures?
Well, not just for that.
Yes, he'll answer anything.
Theater for a while and scream, "Let's go in here! Boy, the sky is great!"
Wait a minute, Betty. Come back. Don't let that egg here by itself. Come here. Betty, tell the truth now. Do I make you go in and see my pictures?
No.
And do I pay you to stand out in front and scream how good I am?
No. Gee, Jack, ain't these options murder?
I don't know why we go through this. It certainly isn't for the money. That's your line. Why don't you try it?
I don't know why we go through this. It certainly isn't for the money.
I don't know why we go through this. It certainly ain't for the money.
That's one line we can read. Isn't that wonderful? Why don't you try it now? Let's take it from where the cops came in or something.
I don't know why we go through this. It certainly isn't for the money.
Betty, are you insinuating that I don't pay my cast well?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. All I know that is every week after you pay my salary, my father phones me and asks, "Well, Betty, how did he pay you this time? With or without the shells on?"
Listen, Betty, if you don't like it here, you can leave any time. Lockheed is desperate for riveters, you know. Where'd that word come from? Sounds like Bert Lahr. Well, Jack, what do you think of our little show?
Well, Bob, now that I've been here at your broadcast, I've got to give you a lot of credit. Most comedians try all sort of trickery to get the audience out there to laugh. So the people listening in will think it's funny.
But I don't, do I?
No, sir. You don't even tell jokes.
Wonderful.
But you know, Bob, I think I got an idea that'll help you.
What's that, Jack?
Why don't you arrange it so that you only have airplane workers here in your studio audience?
Why them?
Well, those guys are in a position where they can laugh at everyone.
Well, I'll tell you... I don't blame you. Don't open your eyes any more on that. Why should you? It's for nothing. I know. I'll tell you a secret, Jack. In Los Angeles, that's the only kind of an audience you can get.
I don't know. I used to dabble in radio, too. I had all the worries you have, Bob. You couldn't have had any worse trouble than I went through. No, sir, it would be impossible to have any worse trouble than I went through.
Have you seen Skinny Ennis over there?
We learn something every day, don't we?
Well, you know what struck me funny? Some people must have gotten us mixed up when we were coming to the studio. They were calling me Jack.
They weren't calling you Jack.
No?
No. It started with J and ended with K, but oh, what a difference those middle letters made. J-E-R-K.
J-E-R-K. Oh.
But you've changed a little bit since I saw you last, Bob. You've got a little pot tummy there.
Oh, that isn't a pot tummy, Jack.
No? What is it?
Why, I've got a brand new spare tire, and I'm afraid to leave it on my car. By the way, Jack, let's talk about you for a while. Did you see Louisiana Purchase?
Yeah, what about it?
Oh, nothing, but if it gets any colder, California's for sale, too. You say you did see my latest picture, Jack?
Oh, yes. We always go to the theater with your, when your pictures are showing.
Why?
They have a better grade of dishes to make up for it.
Is that so?
I'm only kidding, Bob. I go to see your picture because you're a grand comedian. Your pictures are fast and amusing. And besides, we need two more teacups and a gravy boat.
Well, call me if you need anything else. I need some beautiful doilies.
But I saw Louisiana Purchase while I was in Broadway. I dropped into the New York Paramount, and I just laughed and cheered and really enjoyed myself.
Did you?
Yeah, what a stage show.
Gosh, I wish I could have been in New York with you.
Yeah, New York's wonderful. Take that subway, for instance. You're walking along, minding your own business, and suddenly a huge mob of rushing people sweep you along into the place deep underneath the ground.
Sounds like the May Company basement.
Then in the subway, you're crushed between hundreds of screaming, fighting men and women who literally tear your shirt off your neck.
It is the May Company basement.
Bob, one thing that disappointed me while I was in New York, I didn't see Mayor Fiorella H. LaGuardia. They call him the Little Flower.
Yeah, well, from what I read in the papers, the Little Flower is now a rambling rose. But getting back to pictures, Jack, what are you working on now?
I'm making a picture for Paramount.
Really? Well, I'm making a picture for Paramount.
Dorothy L'Amour is in my picture.
Well, Madeline Carroll is in my picture.
You ought to see my love scene with Dorothy.
Oh, you ought to see my love scenes with Madeline.
I'll bet they got me on a longer chain.
So you're making a picture with Dorothy L'Amour?
Yeah, it's called Malaya. And in this picture, Dorothy is wearing a new draft model sarong.
A new draft model sarong?
Yeah, it registers on all men between 18 and 64.
But, Jack, I saw you in Moon Over Miami. Gee, that's Betty Grable.
And I saw you in Louisiana Purchase. Gee, that's Zarina.
Betty Grable, Zarina. Why doesn't someone notice us?
With our legs?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with that. You've
got hair.
See yours.
Here, I'm not going to sit up all night with a tweezer, old boy. You know that.
I may not have shapely legs, but I have spontaneous charm. You should see me on the corner of Vine Street, patiently waiting for just the right moment.
Oh, is that what you do? No wonder they're calling you Blackout Bobby. But, Bob, I envy you. It certainly must be wonderful appearing in pictures with all those leading ladies.
Yeah, Madeline Carroll, Dorothy L'Amour, Paulette Goddard.
Gee, I'll bet you don't care how cold the weather gets, do you? Anyway, Bob, you deserve those leading roles because you're such a handsome guy. Yes, sir, you're really a handsome guy.
What'd you say?
I said you're a very handsome guy. Now, if my draft board is listening in, a fellow with my bad eyes can't go, can he?
Well, Jack, you can brag about your leading ladies, but I'm making a picture where Madeline Carroll is crazy about me. I just finished one where Paulette Goddard asked me to marry her, and I'm going to make another where Dorothy L'Amour tells me I'm the handsomest man in the world.
Boy, Hollywood is certainly the land of make-believe, ain't it?
I hear, ladies and gentlemen, is Betty Hutton singing, Arthur Murray taught me dancing in a hurry from the Fleet's Inn, the Paramount Fleet's Inn.
Lucky day, I happened to read that magazine. Why did I read that advertisement? Where did it say it? It's in I Rum, but Jim thinks I'm... I ever try? When I didn't have the talent, I didn't have the money, and teacher did not have the time. Boy! Arthur Murray taught me dancing in a hurry. I had a week to spare. He showed me the groundwork, the walk around work, and told me to take it from there. Arthur Murray then advised me not to worry. It would come out all right. To my way of thinking, it came out stinking. I don't know my left or my right. The people around me can all sing a one and a two and a three. But any resemblance to waltzing, it's just coincidental with me. Cause Arthur Murray taught me dancing in a hurry. And so I take a chance. To me it resembles a 9-day tremble, but he guarantees it's a dance. My tango resembles a two-step. Marumba makes people turn pale. Maconga goes into a goose step. Still the FBI is a dog on my trail. Cause Arthur Murray taught me dancing in a hurry. Maybe the stars were wrong. If I ain't a minister, Ruth St. Dennis, I'll do it till one comes along. A turkey trot or gavotta, don't know which, you don't know what. Jitterbug, bunny hug, long as you kind of rock. Walk the dog, do the clock, Lindy hop till you drop. Ball the jack, back to back, cheek to cheek till you're weak.
Betty Hawkins. Haley's got me doing it now. That was Betty Hawkins singing Arthur Murray taught me dancing in a hurry.
Independent research laboratories that have tested Pepsodent tooth powder have found that it has the power to produce a luster on teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands. Composite metaphosphate, the patented high-polishing agent, gets the credit for this big plus. Because this wonderful ingredient polishes teeth to such a shiny smoothness that they gleam and sparkle with dazzling brilliance.
Yes, they do. They just dazzle.
No other tooth powder contains this wonderful substance.
What substance?
And that's why no other tooth powder can come even close to Pepsodent for making teeth bright.
What's the substance, Arian?
Composite metaphosphate.
Oh, I didn't know.
So no matter what other tooth powder you may be using, we have proof that Pepsodent can make your teeth brighter, more beautiful.
Oh, that's nice.
There's no better time than right now to start making your teeth sparkle and shine. Just ask for the new... Just ask for the new high-polished Pepsodent tooth powder at your nearest drug counter. And now, ladies and gentlemen... And now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we open Bob Hope's book, They Got Me Covered. Pause. We resume our reading in chapter 6, where Bob is a mere infant. And his loving parents are giving him his first bath. His mother speaks to his father, who is bathing young Robert.
Oh, come on. It's my turn now. You've held his head under for 3 minutes.
But in spite of all this, young Robert recovers. After all, water can't hurt a drip like him.
That'll be out too easy. Go ahead.
Several years pass, and at about this time, Robert becomes conscious of the female of the species. And he acts toward his first school sweetheart in his usual gallant fashion.
Gee, Francis, thank you for helping me finish my homework.
Oh, that's nothing, Bob. Thank you for helping me finish my lunch.
It was in this year that Robert Hope decided to study engineering. We find him hard at work at his studies, determined that when he grows up, he shall become an engineer.
1 and 1 is 2. 2 and 2 is 4. 4 and 4 is... 4 and 4 is... 4 and 4. Well, I'll become an actor.
Now, Robert's only interest is in the theater. And one day, he decides to try his luck in an amateur night contest. He goes out on the stage. The audience receives him without prejudice and gives him exactly what he deserves. 2 days later, Robert says,
"Where am I? What happened?"
Again, the years pass by. Suddenly, we find Robert is no longer a child. He is a young man. And here we find him taking his first shave.
Hey, Ma. Oh, Ma.
What is it, son?
Hey, Ma, is an upper lip necessary?
Quickly, his mother rushes to him with a bottle of iodine, but Robert refuses to drink it. You see, even as a youngster, Robert was a lad of strong conviction. Nothing could scare him. One day, he sees the school bully about to beat up a small child. Instantly, Robert rolls up his sleeves, walks up to the bully, and says,
"Come on, let's beat him up together."
And then, Robert meets another boy in his block, a little kid by the name of Jack Haley. Robert, with a reputation of being the toughest kid on the block, says,
"I don't like the way you comb your hair."
"Yeah, well, I don't like the way you comb your hair."
"Oh, yeah? Take that."
So Robert gets a finger wave. But anyway, Haley, a poor judge of character, likes Hope instantly. And proposes that they team up and go on the stage. He figures he needs a partner, and besides, this way he can only get hit with half the tomatoes. So immediately, the two lads go on the stage, but the manager takes a club and beats them off the runway. Robert... Robert forgets a theatrical career and gets a job. But no matter where he is, no matter what Robert is doing, he always hears vaudeville calling to him.
"Hit the road, you bum!"
We don't need a mic with her.
The first time Bob Hope steps on a vaudeville stage, he gets an immediate reaction. And he looks good with that tomato stuck in his nose. Bob eventually becomes a headliner. He enters one town, and a big reception awaits him. Bob steps up to the mayor and says,
"Hiya, Mayor, what's cooking?" "Ah, but you'll have to eat your feathers plain."
So he decides to team up once again with Jack Haley. What a comedy team. Haley and Staley. After months of starvation and unemployment, the new team finally does attain a position in show business. We find them now in their hotel, getting ready to start another day.
"Come on now, Bob. We need a little more practice." Show me again if you got your part rehearsed right.
Oh, sure, it's a cinch. I walk down the aisle of the theater toward the stage, and I turn to the left and say, "Here's your seat, madam." All right, Jack. Now you recite to me the motto of the Usher's Union.
Okay, Bob. Neither snow, nor rain, nor sleet, nor chewing gum on the seat will stop us in our appointed round.
The lawyers must be told out.
Boy, we're certainly good at our jobs, Bob. I think you're good enough for Chalmers Grinney.
Chalmers Grinney. Oh, no, you think it all. Now, wait a minute, Jack. I admit I'm pretty good as an usher, but I never could make the grade of Chalmers Grinney.
Grinot,
he says. Look, they only have girl ushers there.
So what? In the dark with your figure, who'd notice a difference?
See, it's tough being an usher. We have to see the same picture 6 times a day, day after day. Well, I've already seen the picture we're showing now 42 times. How often do they expect me to sit through Louisiana Purchase?
Yeah, sitting through Louisiana Purchase so many times, it must be agony to you.
Are you kidding? I don't know.
Come on. We can't sleep here all morning. It's time we're getting up. Crawl out.
I'm out.
I'm out, too.
Okay, now nail the carpet down again.
Say, you know, Bob, the manager said that you're becoming too hammy in that theater. For instance, last week when we were showing Honky Tonk on our screen, every time Clark Gable tried to kiss Lana Turner, you came between them.
Oh, well, that wasn't hamminess, but why should Lana throw herself in a guy like Gable when she could get me?
Yeah, that's right, Bob. Why should a girl want to drive a Cadillac when she could get a kitty car? But, gee, I'm sick of being an usher.
Me, too. I'm tired of showing people to their seats.
Yeah, I've walked down the aisles more time than Tommy Manville.
But I like these ushers' uniforms. Say, Jack, get me in this suit. I bet everyone thinks I was poured into it.
Yeah, and every time you bend down, it looks like the dam is about to break.
Well, we all have to go through with it. After all, it's always tough getting started. Look at Al Jolson. Look at Harry Richmond. Look at Eddie Cantor. Look at Barney Dean.
Barney Dean? Who's he?
He's an agent for picket lines. But someday we'll get away from all this.
Yeah, I hate this crummy rooming house.
Oh, I don't know. I like this room we've got. I like the way the bed folds back in the wall.
Yeah, it's nice the way the bed folds back in the wall.
And the landlady promised if we paid our rent, she'd give us back the wall.
But we can't pay our rent, and she's got us locked in. What do we do?
Listen, we can get out of this room by tying the bed sheets to the radiator and then climbing out of the window. Give me the bed sheets.
No, then what'll I use for handkerchiefs?
Gee, we've been locked in this room for 2 days.
Yeah. Gee, what a beautiful breakfast. Golden waffles and syrup and honey and bacon and eggs.
Yeah, it does look good. Tear it out of the magazine, and we'll chew on it for a while.
Sounds like a mouse, but I smell a rat. Mr. Holmes! Mr. Haley! Stop playing dead, you deadbeat!
Oh, did you mean us?
Yes. Listen, you two, I want my rent. If you don't pay me today, I'll take the fumigators out of your room.
Give us a break, will you? We'll pay you as soon as we make a big hit in vaudeville.
That's what you've been telling me for 12 years. Say, are you guys trying to give me the runaround?
Listen, Buttercup, we got to get out of here. We got important theatrical jobs.
Well, listen, you mug. I'm not going to unlock that door until you give me the back rent you owe me.
Well, how long are you going to keep us in here?
It may be weeks or it may be years. I locked one guy in his room till he died. Then I let him go.
You let him go?
Well, what could I do? He was drafted.
Well, look, Mrs. Scrooge, we can't pay you the rent because we haven't any money. You can't squeeze blood out of a turnip, you know.
Leave your nose out of this.
But we're trying to tell you, we got a big theatrical deal on today. We're doing an act together, a big vaudeville act. Something Bob and I perfectly suited for.
I don't believe it. Not even in vaudeville could a horse have two of those ends. Now, you fellas stay in there. Goodbye.
Bob, I think she's gone now.
Yeah, but I don't trust her, Jack. Go over and put a newspaper in front of the keyhole so she can't see anything.
Okay, Bob.
Well, not only didn't they pay their own bill, they took Dick Tracy in as a boarder. Now, come on! Have you boys got my rent?
Well, let me handle her, Jack. Listen, honey, how is my little golden-haired sweetheart today?
Why, Mr. Hope, you flatterer. Come on. Come on out here in the hall and whisper that in my ear.
Oh, sure, my little darling.
Oh!
So help me in bed. We'll look for my teeth later. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Hope. This is J.C. Colonna, theater manager, impresario, master of ceremonies, producer of plays, discoverer of talent, also license plates put on while you wait.
What do you want, Colonna?
Say, Hope, you know that act I have at the theater where a man balances an elephant on his feet while lying down on his back?
Oh, yes. It's called Smith and Elephant.
Yes. This morning, there was a slight accident. It's now called Elephant and Pancake. You two washes, hurry up. I need you at the theater. I'm stuck down here alone. I need help. I'm selling a ticket to a kangaroo.
A kangaroo?
Yes. Now, what I want to know is whether I charge half price for the kid in the bag.
Now, just a minute, Colonna. Are you sure the kangaroo has a kid in the bag?
Well, I don't know. He keeps insisting it's a bundle to Britain. Now, hurry up. I need you and Haley down here at the theater right away.
Well, look, Colonna, Jack and I can't get out of our hotel room. Our landlady won't let us go till we pay our rent.
Tut-tut, my lad. You worries it over. I'll pay the rent for you. Big-hearted Colonna, they call me. How much do you owe?
$98.
Yes, sir. Tightwad Colonna, they call me.
Look, Professor, maybe if you talk to our landlady and tell her to give us a job, tell her you gave us a job, she let us out. I'll put the phone up to the keyhole. Go ahead.
Hello, madam.
Hello, bum.
Yes, television. Listen, madam, you know those two poor fellows, Bob Hope and Jack Haley?
Yes.
Repulsive, aren't they? Say, how about you and me going out together tonight, honey?
Oh, I couldn't go out with a strange man. You see, last year I was just sweet 16.
Just sweet 16, eh?
Yes.
Must have curdled quite a bit since then.
Colonna, now look what you've done. Now she'll never let us out of this room. Professor, you taxed my patience.
Yeah, don't tell me I beat Morgenthau to it. Well, goodbye. Hurry down to the theater.
Gee, it's tough being an usher, especially working for a boss like Colonna. The only good thing about our jobs is the uniforms we wear.
Yeah, gee, look at the sharp creases you've got in your pants.
Yeah, those creases are really sharp. It's the first time I ever put on a pair of pants and shaved the hair off my legs at the same time.
But gosh, I'll never be as good an usher as you. I'm not neat enough.
Another thing, Bob, you're not polite enough to be an usher. When a customer comes in the theater, you should say, "May I see your ticket, please?
May I see your ticket, please?"
Yes. Not shoot the stub to me, bub.
Well, I want to be a good usher, Jack. Just think, if we keep working in the theater, someday we get a chance to go on the stage. Then we become big stars, Broadway, Hollywood. I'll get a radio show of my own. I'll become a big movie star. The girls will be wild about me. Women will write me love letters.
Yeah. Now give me a slug of that furniture polish.
Well, it's no use. We got to get something to eat.
Yeah, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
Hello. Okay. I was Santa Anita. They'll accept your offer.
See, we shouldn't be ushers. We got talent.
Yeah.
Remember that night we played a benefit for the Great Pickers of Azusa?
Sure, what a hit. What a hit.
Yeah, that night we personally...
Wait a minute.
Oh, you got more?
Give me a chance. I'll do it, right? If you'll just wait.
McNaughton.
Honestly? Mm-hmm. I got the same piece of material. You hooked me, too.
No kidding.
Isn't that awful, that bum? I pay for that label, too. Look at that. The same thing. Make it a double suit.
I got McNaughton there in the back, if you look for
me. Yeah! Why don't you take the hanger out? You're going to leave it that way? Let's try this whole gag over. Give it a good play, huh?
Good thing. I think it's a good gag.
We shouldn't be ushers.
Remember that night we played a battle? For the Great Pickers of Azusa?
Sure, what a hit we made with those great pickers.
Yeah. Oh,
let's try the whole thing. What a hit we made with those great pickers.
Yeah. That night we personally got the whole month's crop right in the puss.
Well, anyway, Jack, we'll hit the jackpot. I know we will.
Yeah?
Well, I can see it all now. We climbed the ladder of success right up to the big money. First vaudeville, then musical comedies, then radio, then pictures, then...
Yeah, yeah?
Yeah, then someday, who knows, we may get jobs at an airplane factory.
Bob, you're still drinking that furniture polish. Say, you know, you look kind of bad this morning. Those bags under your eyes are awfully big.
What makes you think the bags under my eyes are so big?
Well, most of the people I know sleep under blankets.
Hello?
Hello, Hope. Hold the line a minute. My nickel back. Hello. Hello, is this you?
This is me.
Hello, me. Put you on the phone.
Kelowna, me, you, me, you, me, you.
Yeah, kitty, get off the wire.
Fine. Now, listen, Kelowna, as a theater manager, you know what to do when a man in uniform comes over to buy a ticket.
Sure, if I know how to take care of a man in uniform. Here comes a man in uniform now.
Kelowna, what's the idea?
Japanese uniform.
Well, Kelowna, we'll be down to the theater as soon as possible.
Good. The actors haven't shown up yet, so I better rehearse the magic act I'm going to do here at the theater tonight. I'm going to saw a lady in half.
Kelowna, you be careful. You don't know how to saw a lady in half.
Oh, pish tush. I know everything about it. Now, lady, you lie down in this wooden box. That's it. Now lie still, and I'll saw you in half. Anybody got a little glue?
Say, you must have your hands full down there without your actors and your two best ushers.
I see a kid sneaking into the theater.
Now, don't lose your temper.
Oh, no, I'm going to treat this kid like a perfect gentleman. Now, listen, son. Don't you know it's wrong to sneak into the theater? It's not honorable. You're too young to realize that, so I'll let you sit down and see the show for nothing. Stuck his tongue out. Now, listen, you guys. If you get over right over here to the theater, I can let you do a number. One of the acts can't go on.
One of the acts can't go on? Which act is that?
Well, do you remember the girl who does 14 somersaults in midair from a height of 500 feet?
What about it, Kelowna?
Well, tell Jim if he's ever going to bring those pretty flowers, now's the time to do it.
Kelowna, you plumb the depths of idiocy.
I can't hope. I don't belong to the Plumbers Union.
Professor, you may be my boss, but you're certainly a dope.
You wouldn't talk that way to me if you knew a secret.
What secret?
When I was 4 years old, I died.
When you were 4 years old, you died, and how come you were able to grow so tall?
Oh, I stand out in the rain.
Kelowna, you're an I-D-I-O-T.
Lucky thing for you, I'm too much of an idiot to know what that means. When are you coming down to work?
Look, we're locked in our room, but if you can hurry over here in your car, maybe we can sneak out of the window and you can take us back to work.
Okay, Hope, my car is right here. I'll drive right over.
Come over here.
Saving my tires.
Sound like a good humor man. Professor, hurry up and get here.
Okay, I'm driving as fast as I can, but there's a little difficulty. A fellow in a blue suit is trying to race me on his motorcycle.
A fellow in a blue suit? Kelowna, that's a motorcycle cop, and he isn't trying to race you.
Forget Kelowna, Bob. Look, this is our last chance to get out. I've torn our bed sheets in a strip and tied them both together. Now you lower it out the window and we'll both slide down.
Okay, here goes. Whoops. Should have tied the other end.
Well, come on. Let's hurry into the theater.
Well, here we are at Kelowna's Theater. Look at the sign on the marquee. Kelowna's Bijou Theater. 10 acts of vaudeville, 3 big features, Screeno, Bingo, Kino, special today. Major studio preview, Mickey Mouse, latest newsreels, and March of Time. Bring the kiddies and watch them grow up.
Well, let's go in through that private entrance there.
Well, here we are inside the theater, and there's the manager of Kelowna's office. Oh, Kelowna, we're out here awaiting your orders.
I'll be with you in a minute, Hope. I'm counting the day's receipts.
That's wonderful. Today, the theater took in $1,050,000. $1,050,000? That's a lot of theater admissions.
Look, Hope, we only made $50 in theater admissions. The rest came from the candy stand in the lobby.
Kelowna, I thought you wanted us to hurry down here.
Yes, I thought you'd never get here. My vaudeville acts didn't show up, so I want you to take their place. All you have to do is put your head in Lion's mouth.
Kelowna, I won't stick my head in the lion's mouth.
Why not? He chews sense, then. I'll show you how simple it is. I've got a lion right here. Open wide, Leo.
placed my head inside his mouth. Further, further.
Kelowna, what's the matter?
Tonsils tickling.
Okay, Kelowna, we'll accept the job and go on the stage.
Say, we're ready to go on, Kelowna. What about the money?
You mean about the cut?
No, the dough there, the money.
Oh, you didn't get the cut, did you?
If the audience applauds, I'll give you $50. If they hiss, I'll give you $30. And if they start booing, I'll give you $10.
Oh, fine, Kelowna. Where will you be when the act goes on?
Out there, booing. And another thing.
Yes?
Remember, if the audience starts throwing vegetables, I get half.
Okay, come on, Bob. We're on now. Let's do that cowboy act.
Deep within my heart lies a memory that drives in near old San Antone. San Antone! And that horse I ate at the barbecue. I did not know it was my own.
It was my own!
Horsey, please!
Wait a second. Wait a second. We're lost. Let's get that drive in your old San Antone. And the horse that Barbie got did not know was mine.
It was his own. Horsey, please forgive me. That cook was a cur. Told me I was eating a ground round steak.
Ground round steak.
I should have expected. They called it horse burger. When I found your tail, I thought my heart would break. Please forgive me, pal. You was my old horse. I did not know what I was doing. He was doing. But when I found out, I poured on chili sauce and cheerfully kept right on a chewing. Horsey, you was faithful.
Oh, there's more.
And you was old and gray. I sold you to a guy who said he'd keep you fat. Then he went and sold you to his broken down cafe. How could Mr. Crosby do a thing like that? It's goodbye, old pal, who was frightening in grief. In a pan so hot it simply melts her.
Guess what's cooking?
I don't know where. Oh, horse, may you rest in peace. If you don't guess, like I'll try out a
self-trust. Hey, partner, what's your name?
Tex.
Glad to know you, Tex. What's your full name?
Sales Tex.
Now, ain't you glad to know you?
Oh, looky, here comes Bossy, our cow, and it's a milking time.
I'll milk her. About Bossy, always beating out a V for victory.
Say, Pete, see that other cow over there? That's the champion milk giver of the county.
That cow's the champion milk giver of the county? Why don't you milk it then?
I ain't got my rowboat handy. Gosh, you sure are bow-legged.
Yep, once took a parachute jump from an airplane.
Then how did that make you so bow-legged?
Didn't wear no parachute. Well, guess we better sing.
Yeah.
Oh, bury me out on the lone prairie. Oh, bury... You can read that,
Go ahead.
Oh, bury me out on the... Join me in this egg, will you, old boy?
Oh, bury me out on the lone prairie. Oh, bury me out on the lone prairie. Lone prairie. Oh, bury me out on the lone prairie.
Anybody got a shovel?
Come on, let's get on with our act, you missed us.
By the way, Pete, what's your old horse, Silver? Where is your old horse, Silver?
I ain't got old Silver no more.
You ain't got old Silver no more? What happened to old Silver?
Got caught in the aluminum drive.
Say, just bought me a new suit.
Ain't the jacket a little too long?
Maybe so, but it comes in awful handy when you can't afford the pants.
Say, I seen a new cowboy picture at the Hitchin Post Theater today.
Yeah?
Got a new fellow in it called Gene Autry.
Gene Autry, huh? He's a cowboy?
Yep, carries his gun permit under one arm and his musician's union card under the other.
Oh, yeah, he's this guy with a six-shooter guitar.
Wait a minute, a little time out here.
Hurry, there's a lull. Hurry, old boy.
I don't know whether to get glasses or longer arms. Meant to ask you, Pete, seen the new school mom yet?
Yep.
Ugly thing, ain't she?
Yep.
Pause. Just pause here. Won't have nothing to do with me either.
Now's the pause.
Tell me, Pete, are you any good at fancy shooting?
Yep. You see that bottle over there by that fence yonder?
Yep.
Well, watch me shoot W.C. Fields right out from under it.
I'm pretty handy with a gun myself.
Ever kill any Indians?
Yep, 3,000.
I've seen Gene Autry kill 4,000 Indians once. Didn't even have a gun.
Gene Autry killed 4,000 Indians and he didn't even have a gun.
Nope, just batted them down with his guitar.
Well, let's sing our song, son.
Let's have that again. Let's have that introduction again. That's it.
We're two Barstool cowboys from old Barstow, and our noses match old paint.
No, babe.
We just wear the brand of the old Barstool, and if we ever saw a horse, we would faint. Oh, our legs are broke from the shakes we throat. On our heads, 10 gallon bats.
And turn her head.
Whip!
Two Barstool cowboys.
And a doggy just chased his cat.
A doggy chased his cat. Say, folks, me and my partner here, we knocked out a little thing called a cop.
It's a classic, right? Last time
we saw the show. I thought we need anything sad right in there. Folks, me and my partner here, we knocked out a little thing called the Cowboy's Creed. Would you like to hear it?
Well, as we wander down life's highway, your faithful old horse by your side, you look out over the prairie before you cross the great divide.
Your turn now. Now, it ain't the steers or the cows you remember, or even the Wheaties you ate.
No, it's that last time you hit the pinball machine.
6,908.
Oh, we're two Barstool cowboys from old Barstow.
Just a couple of roofs in the past, so watch that egg. Ha, that was good.
Just empty saddles. Joe's in
direction.
Go ahead.